Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning, welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shardell, and I'm here with co-host, producer, and dear friend, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom. You survived Thanksgiving.
Barely. You know, Thanksgiving, the day itself is pretty easy for me. It's the lead up that's, the problem. I mean, Thanksgiving Day is kind of like prison feeding. You know, you're just slopping stuff on the plate and, hoping it looks good, and then a whole bunch of sides. But the day or two before is always the problem, because you're roasting turkeys, you're making sides, you get steaks to cut. It's funny. I probably did about 240 dinners at the club. About 65 or 70 people didn't order turkey. They had steak or salmon or something. So it's really kind of funny, you know. I even had somebody with a takeout order. They wanted that traditional Thanksgiving risotto. You know, they ordered like a half a tray of risotto, which was kind of an unusual ask. But, hey, listen, we accommodate, whatever. It was fun. Thanksgiving to me, like the day itself, is kind of fun because it's Christmas without the pressure of the gifts. You know, you get the same people, the same food, and, you don't have to go out and shop or anything. So it's pretty cool. I like it.
I just don't understand how many Thanksgivings have you had at home since being a professional chef?
None. I think I'm on my 57th Thanksgiving in a row working in the industry. And, it's funny. I really, the first one I worked, actually, I was at a place called Sirloin Steak Pub. I was a kid. And we had this Chef Shorty, who was this little diminutive African-American cat, who had a build like Joe Frazier. He was very heavily muscled, short little guy, always wore a derby. He didn't know anything about food, health, and, whatever. And so he wound up making giblet gravy. And apparently he didn't have sushi-grade giblets in there. And he kept it in a steam table that was about 60 foot long with a candle under it. And the thing, obviously, was poisoned. And he knocked out about 500 people. Me included. It was my first bout with salmonella. And if you're ever looking for a really good weight loss program, salmonella is the way to go. It's like the best I've ever seen, you lose a lot of weight in a hurry. It's just brutal, So that was my first one. And I didn't eat turkey for like maybe 15 years after that. The thought of it would make me ill.
That's so funny you say that. I've had a whirlwind week. I was traveling a little bit, and I was started out in Nashville, traveled down to North Carolina, and ended up in South Carolina. And when I was down in South Carolina, we were out at a restaurant with Carrie and her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. And the new kid in town.
Nice.
But we talked about shellfish or whatever, and he said that he's not a big oyster guy because he was somewhere.
Had an issue.
And he had an issue.
Yeah.
And he takes a second look and not so much.
Yeah, I remember getting one. Oysters, I'm smarter now. I smell them before I eat them, This is a dead giveaway there, And I remember, I was in a place in East Hampton and, I had a dozen oysters and I got the number 8 or whatever. And it was too late. It was already in my mouth by the time I, sniffed the shell and I did Usain Bolt. I could have taken Usain Bolt in the first 40 yards on the way to the men's room, spit that thing out, you know. It's just a stomach gagger, too, at that point. You know, you're like, oh, my God, thank God I didn't swallow. That would have been a problem.
So have you had any dining outings that you would like to share this week with our listeners?
No, I've been kind of working. I really haven't really – I'm trying to think if have I gone anywhere. I was at Rotman's the other night. You know, I was at a good conversation with Sean Gantner, who's the sommelier there. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I did my usual. We split a baked potato because it's the size of your head. You know, I mean, you can't eat one of them. I mean, it's way too much carbohydrates for one person. So we split a potato. And that's really all I ever do there is drink, you know, drink a little bit of wine. I'll have a potato. But he was telling me they had like 700 people for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Which is nice to see. I mean, I'm glad some restaurants are thriving, you know. I may have an announcement about a restaurant in a couple of weeks, in a week or two. It's not in Nassau, though. No, yeah, it's still out east. But I may be getting re-involved in something. So we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
I'll let you know as it progresses, as they say.
So my week of travel took me to some interesting dining opportunities. I started out in Nashville. Actually, went down to see the Country Music Awards. It was Kerry's birthday week, and it's funny. I might have shared this before, but...
Please don't tell me you had a 10-gallon hat on.
I did not, oh, but good. I can show you a picture with one. I did wear one just to test drive it.
Oh, no.
But as it turned out...
Yeah, 10-gallon hat on a 5-gallon head.
Yeah, pretty much so. Kerry and I were out one night, and she heard about the Country Music Awards.
Uh-huh.
I guess 103.1 The Wolf, our sister station, was giving away a pair of tickets.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because Kerry, she likes to be the alpha.
Uh-huh.
So she usually drives. So she was driving, and we were on our way to a dinner appointment. And she heard about the Country Music Awards. So on the way home, she goes, "Why don't you drive?" And I drove, and she's busy on her phone. And we get home, and she goes, "This was a pretty productive ride home." She goes, "I booked airfare to Nashville and lodging, and now all we have to do is get the tickets."
You got
to
steal the tickets.
So lo and behold, with all the scares about travel, we didn't want to commit until we were actually in Nashville.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just a funny story, the way it played out. I'd been doing all sorts of research, reaching out to everybody. I find out the only guy that I can reach out to is looking across at me in the studio right now. Because if I ask you something, if you can do it, you make it happen.
Sure.
But, oh, my goodness, over in Nashville, and we have all sorts of connections for country radio stations and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
All I heard was crickets.
Really?
So I took the ball in my own hands and
so you had to pay retail?
Ended up getting a pair of tickets. Actually, it was three tickets because we brought Kerry's daughter down.
Uh-huh.
And when you talk about the 10-gallon hat, you know, I had to steal hers for a little bit, but it was all good. And it was funny because it was her birthday, Kerry. You know, she's walking down Broadway with her birthday sash, strutting her stuff. And, everybody and anybody stopping to sing happy birthday to her.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's funny about country music. It's really taken a turn over the last 20 years. I mean, you know, it's not that twangy, thing that they sing. They all have that thing in their voice.
Oh, you would have liked it. There's this guy, something Wilson, that was performed at the, I'll look up who it was, but incredible, rock, like really rock.
Rock is kind of infiltrated country a little bit. You got some guitar players down there that are super bad, man.
He sang great. Ain't That a Shame, but in like Stephen G. Wilson, I think the gentleman's name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was incredible. But it's also interesting. They had Luke Combs sang a song with a rapper. So it's just interesting, the integral weaving.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
You know who I'm a real big fan of is Brad Paisley.
Yes.
That guy can flat out play, man. I mean, James Burton's another one. He can just go, you know. These guys are so good. And they do that chicken picking thing on the guitar, you know. Busy as hell.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, I try and do it, but it sounds like I'm doing it in quarter time. It's just awful.
So, again, we waited till we got down there, doing all the research about buying tickets, and we pulled the trigger. Then we go down to the auditorium early in the day because we want to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out about an app that they're giving away tickets.
Really?
So now we ended up with good tickets, but we ended up with free tickets that you know, all things considered, if you really couldn't find tickets, they were pretty good. They were, you know, a little high, but right up by the...
You're scalping?
Right by the stage. No, we just gave them to some people, just, you know, felt good about it.
Yeah,
but it was pretty cool. And the way this thing, it's some app that was just trying to get people to sign up and follow them, and they do it well because they only give one ticket per person. So, again, if you're a group of four, all of a sudden they got four followers.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was so interesting because the it was a live taping of the awards show, and it wasn't like the Academy Awards where people are sitting on the floor at tables or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just regular auditorium seating, and it was the size of the garden, the place.
Really?
And they had the first, like, 10 rows up by the stage. They kept mixing them up because, I guess, depending on who was going to get an award, they wanted them up front and stuff.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It was a lot of activity.
Yeah.
It really, really was. But everybody gets dressed up for this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It actually talked about, you know, the tradition as to wear your country finest.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were there in suits and a lot of hats and boots.
Yeah, they get them nudie suits. That guy, that nudie guy that makes those cowboy outfits.
And the women, it was like a prom. You couldn't believe how gorgeous these gowns were that the women were wearing.
Yeah, yeah.
And weren't wearing.
Well, Stu.
It was really incredible, but it was just a phenomenal night. But we got down to Nashville on Tuesday night, we were trying to find the restaurant, and Kerry's looking around, and I'm, you know.
I should have told you there's a really good Italian restaurant in Nashville.
Really? We heard about it, but we didn't get there. But yeah. I'm like, if you want to go there for drinking, there's places to go for drinking. Like every country artist has their own joint.
Own bar,
Jelly Roll and Post Malone and Kid Rock and Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
They all have their own things. And each place is multiple. It's like it's like a restaurant within a restaurant. Each country place has five stories, and each story has a different band playing. It's
really?
Just
crazy,
absolutely
man.
Crazy. And Broadway, again, we were there on a Tuesday night. Granted, it was there because of the show.
Yeah.
But Tuesday night, people walking up and down Broadway was like, it was crazy.
Wow.
So we're looking at all these different plays. I call my son. He goes, oh, you got to have Nashville chicken and this and that. Hattie B's Nashville chicken.
Hot chicken, yeah.
And it, not so much my style.
Me either.
Or barbecue. So Kerry spots this place, Eddie V's.
Eddie
Vedder?
It's
the most sophisticated, beautiful restaurant. It rivals anything here on Long Island.
Oh.
It had a wine cellar that was floor to ceiling.
Nice.
The wait staff had to climb the ladder to get to it.
Yeah.
And you talk about how wait staff can make or break a meal.
Sure.
The waitress we met was incredible, just incredible. And I actually tried to use some wine finesse.
Oh, really?
And again, it was Kerry's birthday. I was thinking about a bottle of champagne or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But we ended up doing wine, and we had Orange Swift.
What was it? 8 years in the desert or
yes,
machete?
That was it.
Or?
We had, what's it called? Yeah, I can't see the name of it now. But it was a really, really nice wine. I just really, really enjoyed it.
8 years in the desert is Zinfandel.
Oh, that's what it is. 8 years in the desert.
Yeah, that's Zinfandel.
That was just incredible. Wonderful, wonderful meal. I actually don't remember what I got, but it blew me away because I just wasn't into this other stuff.
Nashville chicken.
So then the night of the awards, so that was Tuesday, Wednesday's the awards, and I guess it started early, and we got out probably around 10 o'clock,
uh-huh.
But everything was crazy. And we had been told to go to Lainey Wilson's bar. I think it was called Bell Bottoms Down or Bell Bottoms Up or something. But it turned out she had her...
There's a big difference, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But it turned out she had hosted the show and won a lot of awards. She actually had her own party at her own place.
Oh, really?
So when we wanted to go
party?
To the Dueling Piano Bar, that was where she was hosting her party. So uh-huh. We didn't make it. And we were, again, checking out where to go or whatever. And we ended up at something called the 1230 Club, which turns out was it was ownership by Justin Timberlake.
Uh-huh.
And again, all these different celebrities have places down there. And they had multiple floors. We went upstairs, and it was the band that was on was like a jazzy band. It was just, it was really, really cool. And but it was like a lounge, and I was really having second thoughts because at that point it was probably like 11 o'clock, 11:30. We were just having dinner and sitting and having like a steak or something in a loungy place where you're sitting at a cocktail table.
Yeah, it's
and
hard
a,
to eat that.
I didn't think it was going to work out well, but it did. It was incredible. You know, believe it or not, like even something as simple as a shrimp cocktail, it rivaled a steakhouse shrimp cocktail here on Long Island. Most recently, I had a shrimp cocktail somewhere, and it was, you know, the big traditional type shrimp,
sure, yeah.
But it just, it wasn't crisp. If that's the way to
describe
it. You need
that snap when you bite it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here it was, and oh my goodness, the cocktail sauce just had a hit to it. It was great.
Right through the nose, you get that horseradishy thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We heard a burrata that had like a pomegranate preserve or something.
Uh-huh.
And, incredible. We had some fried artichokes. It just,
was in Eddie V's? Or?
This was next door at the 1230 Club.
1230, okay.
And it was just incredible. And I never quite understand buybacks in the bar business.
Me either.
but, you know, again, you know, Kerry's walking around with her birthday sash one night. And the night before, the girl was talking to us and she said, "Why are you here?" So it came out, it was her birthday. But the wait staff was pretty smart, and they're busy. You know, they brought out dessert and just were playing up to us. It was just really, really, really
That's
wonderful.
Cool. Yeah. That's good hospitality. You know, the buyback thing is interesting because, you know, it started out as a nice gesture for regulars, and then it morphed into this thing that you're supposed to do. And, you know, I don't mind doing it, you know, but we're the only business in the world that's required or at least expected to do that. I mean, it's just, I don't know, every third drink, every fourth drink, and it's usually in a bar, you know, whatever. But, you know, we had a guy who came into Cool Fish one time, and he's sitting at the bar, and I knew him. He was he owned a car dealership on Long Island. And he said to me, "You know, I've been sitting here for 2 hours, and you haven't bought me a drink yet." I said, "Really? I bought 6 cars from you, and you haven't bought me a car yet. What's the difference? You know?" "Well, I'd say much more expensive." And it's the same thing, you know. I mean, you're taking in much more money than I am, you know. But it's like, you know, you never see like happy hour at a hardware store, right? Like nuts and bolts half price between 4 and 5 o'clock. Well, you never see happy hour at a jewelry store. You know, nobody ever says, "Hey, well, you bought 3 pairs of earrings, so this one's on us." You know, it's only the restaurant business that they expect that, and it's kind of unfair because. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, we make so much money on alcohol, but we don't anymore. If somebody's drinking gin and tonic, yeah, you're going to make some money. But martinis cost us $5-6 to put out, you know? By the time you get the 3 shots of booze in there, and it's usually a higher end, you know, and they have these specialized vermouths now and all of that. It's expensive, you know? And people like crying when it's $20 for a martini, but, you know, it's what it costs. You know, it is what it is.
I understand. And it's funny because, you know, with wine, you can get anything from a inexpensive glass of wine to something more involved. And I found it because it was a special occasion, I wanted to buy up. And again, it was, you know, just, again, between when you make something special and, again, I don't, people should, if they can, that's wonderful, spend, you know, lots of money on food and whatever on a regular basis. But when you appreciate somebody and you want to do something special and it becomes a group effort, it's incredible. And again, these restaurants were, the menus were incredible. The ambiance was incredible, but the wait staff just nailed it. And, it was just special.
Yeah. I've always believed that, you know, great food will never rescue bad service, but great service can rescue mediocre food. You know, nothing rescues bad food, but you know, if you had a great experience above and beyond, you know, you go into a place. I eat out all the time, so you know, there are times where I'm like, eh, is that right? You know, whatever. But you know, you develop a rapport with the server or whatever. You know, it's kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't. I wish more people would stop the hello. My name is Jennifer, and I'll be waiting on you tonight. You know, it just sounds trite and silly to me. And you know, if I want to know your name, I'll ask. You know, and you know, if I want to chat, we'll chat. But maybe I don't. You know, maybe I don't. Maybe it's a business meeting. Maybe. And the other thing is too that you know what my pet peeve is. All right, I'm gonna have the scallops. Great choice, sir. You know, that's my favorite. I don't really care. I don't really care what your favorite is. We don't have the same taste. You don't know what I know, you know? So I'm happy that you like the scallops, but that's what I want. You know, it's like hilarious, you know? You know, it's all excessive. You don't need all of that joviality and all of that. Just be professional. Come in, you know, do your thing. Tell me what the specials are and make sure you tell me the price. Not that I really care all that much, but I just think it's unfair. I mean, I see people do that all the time. Another pet peeve. This is Chef Pet Peeve 374, right? They go through this whole litany of specials, and usually Italian restaurants, they got like 30 of them. By the time they get to the end, you know, what did he say in the beginning? I don't remember what that app was. And they never tell you the prices. If you're embarrassed about the prices, you should consider what you're doing. It's just unfair. I mean, you wouldn't go to a car dealer's, you know, guy says, I think you should have the Tucson. You know, do I have to ask how much it is? It's on the window, you know. It's just fair practice, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I had a guy, I don't know if I told you the story, but I was in the Garden City Hotel about, I don't know, going back 20 years, my mom was still alive. So I'm taking her to lunch, and she likes red wine, right? So the waiter says, can I get you something to drink? And she goes, I think I want to have a red wine. He goes, you know, we have a beautiful Opus 1 by the glass. And I'm looking at him, and I'm waiting for her to tell the price, because when he tells my mother the price, I'm afraid I'm going to have to give him mouth to mouth. You know, she's going to go down, right? So, and I'm sitting, he doesn't say a word. I said, why don't you tell her how much it is? He says, oh, it's $35 a glass. My mother wouldn't pay $35 for a last car, never mind a glass of wine, you know? So she's $35. I'm like, calm down. You're not getting it. You know, it's hilarious. You just need to tell people what they're in for. You know?
So here's a picture of Stu in his 5-gallon hat.
Oh, my God. Look at you. You look like a kicker.
So
sing me a song about unrequited love, Stu.
So, From Nashville, we ended up flying to Charlotte, and we go to a local sushi restaurant, we had like a rock and roll table. No matter how hard it was, two deuces together.
Yeah, that's rough.
Couldn't get it done.
Yeah, it's
so
it's
finally never... you know they moved us or whatever, and you've made me a sake snob, and because I had sushi twice down in. On our trip, but this night all I wanted was I had.
Don't tell me one.
Thank God for the Google ability, but I go blue square cold sake, I'm able to find it, but nobody had it down there. And to be honest, I did without it because I can't fathom. Warm sake. Anymore.
No, it's like drinking warm beer, warm wine.
And then
why would we do it?
The second night that we went later in the week when we went for sushi, their sake type of choices were very, very sweet. And even on the warm sake, it was all flavored sakes.
Yes.
I wanted nothing to do with it.
No, that's bad.
So at any rate, we, you know, well, things considered, down in Charlotte, sushi is sushi. It was okay. It wasn't bad. And then we ended up down in South Carolina, where we went to an SEC football game in South Carolina.
I'm surprised you haven't developed an accent. I mean, you're down.
That's pretty funny. I think it was called South Coastal or something. But at any rate, the game was crazy. First of all, SEC football.
That's the Gamecocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, that's a whole strange thing. The chance, like,
they don't shorten that one like they do the Giants or the Pats, you know?
But 100,000 people go to those games.
Oh, I know. College football is insane.
It's crazy. And Kerry's daughter is a retired dancer from the team. She's in a 6-year program, so after 4 years, she retired.
Yeah, you opted out.
But we were guests of the band and dance teams. So we were sitting like 20th row off the field with cheerleaders in front of me and a band behind me. But it was a lot of noise, though. I mean, again, to the left, to the right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Stand up,
clarinets
sit down.
And piccolos.
I love a good piccolo.
And then they bring food. They even gave us, what is it called? A fire something subs or some firehouse subs.
Yeah.
But it was just incredible. And then we ended up going for sushi. There's a place that's called Tsunami down there, which I find a funny name. But it's like, I compare it to my days 100 years ago when I was in college to a beer hall.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a big open room.
Yeah, expanse.
But it's a sushi place with a sushi bar on one side and all these tables or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's adequate. Nothing special to me, though. I still think Long Island has better options.
So, have you been to Ocaro?
No.
You got to go. I mean, Ocaro is the best sushi I've had in a long time. Yeah. Very good. Very, very good.
So on the way out, there's an axe throwing place. I could have done without it, but we were there with Kerry's daughter and her new love.
Uh-huh.
We spent an hour throwing axes, and it's not easy. And they also had a, they called them, it was like stars that you would grasp and throw.
Yeah, like the kung fu myth.
Yeah. But it was pretty cool. And then they have this game that you're supposed to play while you're waiting to go, which is a ring that's hanging, and then behind it is like 3 feet or whatever is a wall, and there's a hook. So you're supposed to pull back the string, which has the ring on it, and try to get it hooked on the hook. It looks easier than it is, but I am proud enough to say I did better at that than my axe throwing.
Yeah. Well, actually, I know I had a friend that had an axe throwing place in Queens, you know. And they had escape rooms. It was a whole entertainment thing, you know. But the axe throwing was fun. I used to book parties. Like people would, you know, get a party of 20 people and have a birthday cake and, you know, pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have pictures of their ex-wife on a target or whatever, you know, whatever they did. But it was people down there, hurling axes for like an hour. It was like, I'm like, I don't know. It's not for me. So I got a quick story.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm into music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rummaging around my basement and I find my father's clarinet. So, and I knew I had it, but, you know, I forgot about it, whatever. And he was a saxophone and a clarinet player. And he cut records back in the 40s, you know. I have these big 70s. I still have a couple of 78s, you know. For those of you who remember Victrolas and record players, they had settings. They had 16, 33 and a third, 45, and 78 for different records. And so the 78s were bigger than the 45s, and they spun faster, obviously. So I have that, and I gave his saxophone to my niece, who was studying saxophone when she was in high school. I don't know what became of it. I don't think she plays anymore. But anyway, I still have the clarinet, right? So turns out my granddaughter, Harley, decides she wants to play the clarinet. You know, they choose an instrument in fifth grade, and she picks up the clarinet. She wanted the oboe, but there was already two oboe players in there or whatever, so she settles for the clarinet. I'm like, hey, I have great-grandpa's clarinet. You may not have to rent one, you know? So I take it down to the music store, and I said, you know, like, tell me about this thing. He says, well, it's a Paris Selmer. It's one of the better ones, and which is understandable because my father was a spoiled brat. His parents spoiled him rotten, right? So he had the best of everything. He had the best clarinet, and he goes, but this thing needs some work, you know? I said, okay. He says, you know, we can do one of two things. We can just clean it up and get it ready, or we can overhaul it and make it, you know, really nice. Thinking, okay, overhaul it, make it really nice. So this is in July, right? So I give him the clarinet in July. And I call him intermittently, hey, you know, I'm reminding you about the clarinet. I'm thinking I lost it, you know, because now it's like 6 months later. So he says to me, okay, the clarinet's ready. And I'm going to tell you a little background on my father. My father had a way of saying things that were A, funny and cutting at the same time. Like my brother once said to him, Dad, I think Lorraine and I are going to get married. What do you think? And he said to my brother, if I said to you I was driving to California and I had $2 for gas, what would you think? You know, it was that kind of guy, you know. So anyway, he said he had one for me too, and I'll tell you when I'm finished with the story. But anyway, so I go to pick up the clarinet, and he gives me the bill. It's $1,200 to fix the clarinet. Now, I look up the clarinet, and I'm thinking, well, this is a vintage instrument. Like, I'm thinking like guitars, you know, it can be worth $20,000, $30,000, right? I look up, and it's worth about $350. So I got this $1,200 clarinet that's worth $350. And I bring it out east, and I said to my granddaughter, all right, look, you got to play me a song on this because, you know, I just fixed this thing for you. It's that and the other thing. So she plays Three Blind Mice, right? Which is about the extent of her knowledge at this moment. So now I have a $1,200, $300 clarinet that nobody knows how to play except my granddaughter, who plays Three Blind Mice. And my father once said to me, "You are the only person I know who could spend $20 in a pay toilet." And, you know, it echoed in my mind. I'm like, yep, you're right, I can. I can spend $1,200 on a $300 instrument. Anyway, that's my tale of woe for the week. So I had a little concert. You know, she gave me the Three Blind Mice, and I think Mary had a little lamb, and I put the thing back in the case. So I think I'm going to make a lamp out of it or something.
So, I mean, instruments are expensive, but what was wrong with it that needed to be?
Everything. It needed new pads, it needed new levers, and, you know, whatever.
It's,
you know,
it's a believe, big plumbing thing. It could have been as much as $2,000, $3,000 for a new one, right?
No, they're $350. Yeah, I know, right? I could have brought it to a plumber, because that's all it is. It's plumbing. It's holes and levers and pads.
So you talk about instruments. Again, I told you the story about the football game I went to. So where we were sitting was low by the field, and to go to the restrooms or whatever, you had to go up. I'm not exaggerating. It was probably 40 or 50 stairs in a concrete stadium with no railing. Now, I am very envious, because first of all, when the band goes down to the field to play,
yeah,
again, there's people carrying piccolos, clarinets, drums, tubas, and they're flying down the steps. Now, I don't know if, God forbid, somebody falls, if they hit somebody going down, that they would still be standing, because there's like a flange of people.
Yeah, you could break your piccolo on the way down.
That's true. Yeah. And then, you know, running up the stairs, oh my goodness. I was like, I couldn't have been happier to finally get up to the top, because there was no railing or anything.
Yeah, you know, I remember being at a Pink Floyd concert back in the 70s. And I was at the top of the Coliseum way back. And I was so paranoid trying to get down. I actually came down on my rear end, like a little kid comes down the stairs, you know. It was just, it's, I don't know, I got a heights thing. You know, I'm not really, you know, the height thing just gets me. And, you know, if I was 6'3", I'd be in therapy. It's a little disconcerting.
I have a little bit of a food question for you, because believe it or not, we talk about food here.
It should be.
So we went yesterday for brunch at a restaurant called Departo's, right on campus, and it seemed to be the perfect brunch.
This is still in South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. Destination. Uh-huh. And I thought it was interesting, because it was, I interpreted it as very upscale, but I was probably exaggerating a little bit. But I guess it was the type of place, and maybe because the geography was maybe a little religious, you know, so people might have been there after church or whatever, and were you know, nicely dressed or whatever.
Yeah.
But Kerry had an avocado toast that was served with a tomato jam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I had to share a Tom Shodell-ism and explain that, you know, smart people know that tomato is a fruit.
Wisdom. It's wisdom. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Right? Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom's knowing not to put it in a fruit cocktail.
So everybody thought that was very cute on my part, especially the family that we were with, who heritage is that they're from Japan, and you know, I guess they're first generation over here.
Uh-huh.
But what was really cool, and maybe you'll appreciate it. So the father of the daughter that was there is a sound engineer in his day. Now he's an IT professional. Working for a refrigeration company. But in sharing time with them, he tells me he used to be in a glam rock band.
Really?
Over in Japan. And I pleaded with him. I said, make my life. Send me a picture. Because, again, it's just so fascinating that he and his wife both came over from Japan. They ended up in and actually, I believe it was Nashville. And she was going to school there. He actually was also teaching there, and they met, and now they live in Atlanta. A wonderful, wonderful family. Two beautiful young daughters you know, starting their careers. One's just following her sister's footsteps and attending University of South Carolina. The older sister graduated last year. But I thought it was interesting, this tomato jam. And I thought first it was more of a like a baked apple type of thing.
No.
But it wasn't. No. It was...
It's a jam, yeah. I used to use that on fish in lemongrass when I had the Japanese-inspired. I used to call it Asian-inspired restaurant because I'm not Asian. God forbid I co-opt anybody's, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's just made with, like, sugar and ginger and
so
it, honey.
So, again, it was a really, really, really appealing restaurant. And since we were doing brunch, I ended up doing... Eggs Benedict, mm-hmm. but I did crab cake.
Yeah, that's fun.
Which wasn't bad. I don't know. For some reason, it just hit me as that would be. But I don't know if South Carolina is known for crab cakes.
Well, it should be. I mean, there's a lot of crab down there, you know.
Okay.
You know,
maybe a Charleston.
Yeah, well, all of it. I mean, you know, you got crabs in the South. You know, they come up from Virginia and goes in both directions. But, you know, I was at a restaurant. I won't tell you which one it was, and it wasn't very good. I had ordered crab cakes because they were kind of – I didn't really love the menu. I was dragged there kicking and screaming kind of for dinner. Anyway, I kind of knew what I was getting into, and the problem to me with crab cakes is if you're not going to use jumbo lump or lump crab, don't do it, you know. People, they use that shredded, you know, Jonah meat or whatever, which is fine for other applications. But for crab cake, you need to have crab in there, you know? I mean, a crab cake should be 90% crab, 10% filler at best, you know? But people, they make these things, and it's always with the intention of saving money or trying to make some money. And they cut back on the crab meat, or they use, you know, back fin meat or, you know, the lesser cuts of the crab, and it just doesn't translate. This was kind of a, I don't know, it was a mushy, you know, yeah, you know, not very good. And then I had a what was billed as a satay, beef satay, and it turned out it was a kebab, and there's a difference, you know. It had, you know, onions and peppers on it and little pieces of unchewable beef with two dipping sauces. One tasted like had peanut. Tasted like maybe a teaspoon of peanut butter in a gallon of water. And the other one was just raw garlic and green stuff. I'm not even sure what it was. It was really patently bad, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and again, I won't mention the place because, you know, it's not fair. And I don't want to hurt
So my
them,
Eggs Benedict, I mean, the crab cake was there. I have to say it was lost to the
stuff, yeah.
The egg and the poached egg and the hollandaise sauce. But it was very nice. And then I second guessed my choice when I was leaving. I saw a lot of people had soup, which made me question my choice. But I want to read the description of the restaurant because it's very intriguing. De Prato's is a popular deli. Now, it was a dining room, mm-hmm. and there were deli cases in an L, like along right. the perimeter. And so it's a popular deli in Columbia, South Carolina, known for its Italian-style deli with a southern twist, offering a variety of sandwiches, brunch, and catering. It is a casual dining spot with a vibrant atmosphere featuring patio and a menu that includes build-your-own sandwiches, pimento cheese, and weekend brunch. The restaurant is also known for its decor and is a popular spot for both dine-in and takeout. That's a very intriguing. Again, I was there and I was intrigued, but then reading about it, I'm even more intrigued.
It's a hybrid thing, you know. I don't know. It's there's a case to be made for doing that. I mean, I did some inspired restaurants, and I'll say that I don't mean to. It's not an arrogant statement. It's just I did an Asian inspired. Contemporary American restaurant, or I've done an Italian-inspired, you know, restaurant. I don't claim to be Asian or Italian. The deli thing is, I don't know. It's always better, I think. You know, there's like, I guess the Italian version of a deli is kind of like a pork store or a, you know, specialty store, they call them, instead of a deli. Delis, to me, you know, evokes a certain kind of image in my head, you know, German, Jewish, you know, that kind of thing, you know, like a Benz, you know. Benz to me is a deli on steroids, you know. And then you go to, we had one in Carl Place growing up called Rody's, who still had the best potato salad I ever tasted in my life, you know. But you knew what you were getting. You go in there and had the boar's head thing. And the only thing that I was always kind of, I thought was funny is olive loaf. Because nobody eats olive loaf, right? Olive loaf is one of those distraction meats, right? You put it next to the roast beef when the roast beef is overcooked, and the roast beef starts to look better next to the olive loaf. You know, it's kind of like it steers you away, you know, into something different. But, you know, now some of them are, I've been in a couple of delis where they, you know, the sandwiches, they're trying too hard, you know, with the Godfather and the Godmother and the bazooka and all these other things with 30 kind of meats on them and just... relax, you know, just take a breath and make a good sandwich and cut it through, for God's sake. You know, they never cut the whole thing through. So you wind up with bologna on your shirt, you know, and mustard on your pants. It's just terrible. Can't eat it in the car. Anyway.
So it's funny. When I was down in South Carolina also, I went to visit our sister stations down there.
Oh, really?
And they were on their way to a turkey distribution.
Do they
event.
Update the podcast? I'm just curious.
I talked to them about it. You never know. If we can add a little bit of Southern cuisine to it,
yeah,
we
Southern
might
hospitality
be candidates. But on the way out, the general manager said, you know, we got some Panera sandwiches. You should take something. And Kerry was out waiting in the car taking a Zoom while I was in visiting.
Taking a what?
A Zoom.
Oh.
A Zoom.
I was going to say, you should have brought her inside. They probably have a ladies' room there.
So I got to tell you, I'm not the biggest Panera guy.
Yeah.
But he offered me a ciabatta cheesesteak. And I said, well, maybe I better, you know, get a turkey or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A choice for Kerry, and then we'd have variety. But the turkey sandwich was really good. You know, it was deli turkey or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ciabatta cheesesteak was incredible. It was obviously on a ciabatta roll. But the cheesesteak had, I guess, sautéed onions, but they were sweet. What do you call that? Like
sautéed onions with sugar. I don't know.
I don't know. But it turned out to be really, really tasty.
Smothered onions.
I was very impressed. So kudos to Panera for getting it down. But some of the conversation about food when you're with different people and they talk about things. One of our guests was talking about they went to the islands on a vacation or whatever, and they went fishing, and they brought back what they caught,
right.
And the restaurant cooked it for them, which was pretty cool. But then we got into an interesting conversation. He went snorkeling and I guess like spear fishing, and he caught spiny lobster. Is that that's different?
Yeah, different, yeah.
So I just Googled it while I was waiting. So spiny lobster is a lobster with like long tentacles and a lack of...
Long antenna.
Antennas.
Yeah.
And a lack of big claws.
Yeah, they don't have the big claws. They're like big crayfish.
And then I guess he also caught some regular lobster.
The lobster tails that you get in most of the steakhouses are basically that. You know, they're frozen. They come in frozen. And they're basically those. I mean, they're not the same lobsters that we have up here. And when they're fresh, they're great. Frozen, I think that's a waste of money, you know, honestly. Because they're always tough. They're always chewy, you know. There's no flavor on them. They broil them. It's just, I don't know. It's a bad way. But I've had them down in the Caribbean where they were steamed and they're fabulous, you know, right out of the water. It's just, you know, the frozen Brazilian tail. The South African ones are the better ones. Brazilian ones, a lot of them come in, you know, you'll get a 10-pound box. Let's say you got 8 ounce, you know, so you get 20 tails there. You know, 4 or 5 of them are generally full of iodine and unusable, you know. I don't know. It's not a good product.
So although it's post-Thanksgiving, you know, there was a lot of conversation because I was with people before Thanksgiving and, you know, talking about how they cook their turkey and, you know, who puts cooks the stuffing in the turkey, who doesn't, and, you know, fried turkeys or whatever. And a lot of people apparently are trying the fried turkey. I guess they sell kits.
Make sure you have a
Home
fire
Depot
extinguisher.
And, you know, Lowe's or whatever.
It's dangerous. And people don't realize what hot oil can do, man. I mean, you know, I've been around it my whole life. You know, you put French fries, you know, frozen French fries in a fryer later, you get quite a reaction.
And then I go to the supermarket and there's all these concoctions that you inject into your turkey before you cook it, and it comes with a a hypodermic needle and whatever the moisturizer is.
Yeah, and you don't know what you, I mean, if, you know, hopefully you're not allergic to any of that stuff, you know. Taking a Zoom right after dinner. I'm never going to let this go. You know that, right?
I'm innocent.
That was quite the statement. I could have made more of it, but I'm afraid of the FCC, you know? I'd be yanked off the air. Oh, good Lord. I got about 20 minutes of stand-up, Stu. I'm ready. I'm ready for you. Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's all kinds of natural ways to just get flavor into your brine or your bird or whatever. You know, and the gravies too, you know. It's easy to make. I don't understand why people go to
the highlight of these conversations is people talking about what the sides they're going to bring.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to do the candy jam casserole. And I said, please don't skimp on the marshmallows.
I know.
It doesn't get better. You know, the string bean casserole, you know. But wait, this is even better. So we went to see Wicked, the new movie out. And we needed a fast dining thing. We were traveling, you know, most of the day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What do you call it? We needed to take a nap, so we took a nap or whatever. You know, Carrie made sure that I would not fall asleep. But I fooled her.
Was it a nap like on the couch, or was it under the covers with the feet pajamas nap?
Well, let's not say. So we're on our way to the movie, and she wanted to make sure we were very timely, so she booked a motel that was right next to the movie. So, but she goes on the way. She goes, I'm not sure you're gonna like this, but I couldn't get two seats together next to each other, so really? I got you behind me.
Oh, there you go.
What fun.
Yeah. So I had to hold
fun.
Hands.
So, but this was after we had our Applebee's dinner.
Oh, please let me know about that. I've never been in
so
an
we
Applebee's.
Go into Applebee's, yeah. And like, it's okay to, like, you know, go to your neighborhood bar.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Applebee's, and the people were there at their neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
You know, just that was where they were. You know, I can see going to O'Clancy's or Popeye's or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're hanging out at Applebee's.
They had some celebrity chef that was helping them out for a while at, what's his name?
He wasn't there that night.
You know, apparently not. He retired.
So, first of all, as a restaurateur, the restaurant's empty. Again, there's a couple of people sitting at the bar or whatever. We're two. He puts me at a table for two. Now, you'll probably yell at me for making a fuss, but I said I want to sit at a table for four. Uh-huh. So, like, I can put the plates out, like,
I know,
out
Tom
on the Shardell. Table.
When I tell him what's going on here, heads are going to roll.
I'm going to bring your business card next time. So, Carrie has this one item to go to. It's some sort of, like, chicken Alfredo or something with broccoli.
Oh, boy.
Oh, ma'am. We're sorry to inform you that we're out of broccoli.
All right, that's
how
a crisis.
How can they be out of broccoli? Well, and considering, you know, it's frozen.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, she goes, we can substitute string beans if you'd like.
Well, reasonable.
And it didn't match up. But
yeah.
All was, you know, and then I had to figure out what I was going to get. And again, I guess I'm a food snob. I'm a ticket snob because I depend on, I'm critical of where I sit. So what do you get? I got ribs. And Carrie goes, you could pretty much make a mess of it. I said, you know, I know this guy, Tom Shardell. he would be a mess. And I was telling the story about, you know, you would go home with the beard with the with the barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
still
the wings.
There. And I said, that would just be like training for the lobster during the summer.
Well, we do, you know, we do St. Louis ribs sometimes. I have a smoker at the club, right? So we'll smoke them on, you know, in the house, and then I'll do them for buffets or, you know, barbecues or whatever. And, you know, ultimately there's usually a few ribs left over, so we'll do them for family meal, you know, and you're going to feed everybody. and the ribs are great. St. Louis ribs have a lot of meat on them, you know. So I'll take one or two, but I always put gloves on. You know, yeah, it's like I glove up. It's like a surgeon, you know what I mean? You get the gloves on because it's such a mess. I mean, you can't be washing your hands and soap and water and bleach and everything else. You know, it's in your beard. It's terrible, you know, but it's great, you know. But and who makes better ribs than our sponsor?
Yes, Smokin' Al's.
Smokin' Al does great job.
And I'm curious, did anybody take us up on the idea of using Smokin' Al's cornbread as part of the recipe for some cornbread stuffing?
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great.
So again, here we are, Sunday, you know, a couple of days past Thanksgiving. How many of you still have any issues, you know, still eating turkey?
Yeah, well, let's talk about, you know, quickly, you know, we can talk about some, you know, ways to get rid of it. And there's always turkey left over. You know, one of my favorite things to do is leftover turkey is chili.
Interesting.
Yeah, most people make sandwiches, you know, do a stuffing sandwich and white bread stuffing, little cranberry sauce in the turkey. And that's fine. But, you know, that gets old. You know, but chili gets better as it sits.
It's so funny you say that because Antoinette here at the office, she's the one that makes sure our show runs when it's supposed to, yeah, given the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
But she goes, "You have any Tupperware here today?" She goes, "I made some chili and some nice fluffy white rice.
There you go.
And I want to bring some in for you tomorrow. So I got to run home and get my Tupperware." But here we are talking about chili, and you're talking about turkey chili.
Yeah, well, chili lends itself to all kinds of, you know, chili is a good vehicle to use leftovers with.
But are you using shredded turkey or chunks of turkey or ground turkey?
Well, you have turkey left over, right? So mm-hmm. You're going to use the breast and the leg meat. You're going to chop it up, you know, as finely as you need to. It doesn't have to be real fine. And then just make a chili. You know, there's a million chili recipes out there. You can find one. But anything that's left over, lamb, I've used, you know, shrimp. I've made lobster and black bean chili. I used to do that for a fundraiser.
That's great chefs along. Because when we last were together, you were preparing for a charity event.
Yeah, we did Great Chefs again. This is the 32nd year, and I'm happy to say I've done all 32 of them. And it's a great cause. You know, it's the Family Service League, and, you know, they basically feed people who are hungry. And, you know, being in the restaurant business my whole life, it's all about eating and food. And I can't think of anything sadder. Well, maybe one or two things, but, you know, one of the things sadder than a child who's hungry, you know. Sick is worse, obviously, but hungry is awful. And, you know, I'll do anything I can to help alleviate that, you know, fundraising or charity dinners or whatever. And so they do that every year. And it was originally in March, and somehow it got switched to November. And I think that hurt them a little bit as far as attendance goes.
It hurt me because I would have been there if it was in March.
Yeah, so they're going to revert back to March. I think it's coming up. They're going to start it this March again. So I did a dish from Amano. I did a parsnip ravioli with apples, foie gras, and sage, and it was a hit. And I remember last year we didn't sell that much of it. Maybe 150 pieces out of the 400 people that went. So I made about 150, 160 pieces, and I was getting really low after the first half hour. So I had I have a lot of fundraising experience. So rather than run out at 7:30. You know, I kind of started slowing the cooking process down a little bit. You know, people come, "Oh, you got any more?" "Yeah, I'll be ready in 5 minutes, you know." And I do, you know, 10, 12 at a time. "You got any more?" "Yeah, another 5 minutes, you know." So I kind of stretched it till 8 o'clock. But next year I'm going to have to bring a little more because, they were hitting it pretty hard.
So I have a quick other culinary story that I forgot to talk about. I don't travel that much, but Carrie, I guess, had access to the American Express Centurion lounge that we grabbed a bite. And I was pretty intrigued about the food they served. I had no idea where we were going. But they had a nice buffet that started with soup. They had a chicken vegetable soup. But the thing that intrigued me was an apple ginger soup,
uh-huh,
which was the texture of like a pea soup.
Uh-huh.
And it was delicious.
Cool. Yeah, it's all in play. Soup's one of those things where you're really limited by your imagination, you know. And I love making soup. I think it's a lot of fun. And I think I'm pretty good at it at this point. But, it's a hoot, you know. It's a hoot to go in I'll go into the vegetable box, you know, the refrigerator, and take a look and see what I want to do.
It didn't end there. They had an open bar.
Oh, there you go.
And I had an Arath Cabernet.
Which one? Erath.
Erath.
Yeah.
Which I guess
that's from Washington.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
They make good Cabernets up in Washington. That's what they're kind of what they're known for. And it's funny because, you know, it's just, you know, 200 miles south of that is Willamette Valley, which is all Pinot Noir.
And I was so glad that I chose that. I was going to, when we're sitting in the at the gate waiting to, I wanted to make sure I slept on the way home. I was a little anxiety ridden. So I was going to go for a Bloody Mary. And Bloody Marys, 9 out of 10 times, just don't satisfy me in the sense that the mix is either too spicy or whatever. And if I'm lucky, I'll order a Bloody Mary and then ask them to put some tomato juice in it. But, you know, usually they don't have that. So
yeah.
I'm glad that I aired and I got the Erath wine, and it was phenomenal. And it did the trick. I fell asleep.
No, good. I've never drunk a Bloody Mary, ever. You know, tomato thing, I don't know. I don't like spirits anyway, but I never had one. I've tasted the mix here and there, but I've never really had sat down at a Bloody
Mary. And I'm a glutton for punishment because we were down in last year in Pensacola. And they had, it was in like a vat. It was like a shrimp cocktail, Bloody Mary type thing. I think there was actually like a piece of lobster, a shrimp, and whatever. But it was, again, I guess I'm a fool because a Bloody Mary is many times spicy or whatever. But whatever it is, it just doesn't hit the like.
Well, people who decorate them, I mean, Guy Fieri is probably the king of, you know, silly looking Bloody Marys. I mean, he's got celery hanging out, he's got a whole lobster in there, he's got shrimp, you know, six mussels, you know, clams, the whole, that's nuts. And you know, Guy, I'm not knocking Guy, I like Guy, I met Guy, he's a very nice guy, and he's exactly like he is on TV. He's funny, he's witty, he's fun, he's not, doesn't take himself seriously, and he's tremendously successful, and good for him. But the Bloody Mary that he serves, I was at passing by one of his places in Vegas a couple of years ago, and I saw Bloody Mary sitting there, and it looked like Carmen Miranda. Remember her with the fruit hats and stuff?
Yeah,
it was like one of those. Yeah, she had stuff hanging off the glass. It was hilarious. Well, listen, it's getting to that point where
I want to thank the audience for their patronage and my ramblings today. Yeah, yeah. I'm just on fire coming back from my trip yesterday. Right. We were recording here on Monday, and I got back last night.
Yeah, Roger's going to yell at you. Sue's talking too much. You got to talk more. Anyway, we're going to close the show with Tom's Three Keys to Life, which I think has changed now. Life's too short to take a Zoom in a car. Treat every meal like it was your last. And keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and pizza.
And to our listeners, enjoy the beginning of the holiday season. May it be everything you want it to be.
Yeah, December's a great month. So go out there and just kill it.
Come on now, everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Ribtober keeps on smoking. Mention Playing with Fire and enjoy Al's famous baby back rib dinner any Monday through Friday until 7 p.m. for just $14.99. That's right, a baby back dinner for just $14.99. Dinner includes a choice of a half rack baby backs or Al's famous barbecue pulled pork or chicken, a side and cornbread, all for just $14.99. 22 years, it's still Long Island's favorite barbecue. Smoking Al's, Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Proud sponsor of Playing with Fire. Sundays at 9 a.m. on the new 104.7 WHLI.
Amano Osteria and Wine Bar has been created by Adam Lovett and Tom Shawdell to bring the feel and flavors of a true Tuscan Osteria to the North Fork. Amano showcases local growers, farmers, cheese, and winemakers, marrying their ingredients with the taste traditions of the Tuscan countryside. The casual appeal, the flavors of Italy, and a moderate price structure appeal to all, ensuring year-round patronage. This North Fork eatery sends out snappy salads and seafood, pastas and antipasta, along with a respectable wine list. Amano features local vineyards and Italian varietals from the U.S. and Italian wines. The kitchen remains open until 11 and has established a later dining crowd, sparking a local nightlife dining scene. Amano is on the cutting edge of a new high-quality and affordable dining experience on the North Fork. Amano Osteria and Wine Bar, 13550 Main Road in Matatuck. Serving dinner daily, Amano is also open for lunch on Saturday and Sunday. For reservations and further information, call them at 631-298-4800 or visit them on the web at amanorestaurant.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.